Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Randy Schultz with Schultz Communications. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. And how are you? In the sunshine?
Well, it's sunny, but it's a brisk 30 degrees. I'm calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay, yeah, you do get some cold and some snow, but it doesn't hang around long.
No, we get wimpy snow. We're not tough enough to handle Iowa snow.
I see. Well, just keep your jacket on and go for it. But Schultz Communications, that doesn't tell us a lot about what it is you do other than communicate. So tell us a little more about what you do.
Well, my business is pretty much geared toward helping home and garden companies get the word out about their products. So we kind of have specialized in the last 15 years or so on gardeners and folks that like to grow things.
So consequently,
you know, that's kind of where we keep our pulse, our fingers on the pulse of gardening in America.
So that to me says you kind of across the board. You work with catalog people, you work with seed people, you work with people who produce products for gardens, the whole across the board kind of thing.
That's exactly right. And you know, one of our clients for 15 years has been what is now called the Direct Gardening Association. They used to be known as the Mail Order Gardening Association. And so that's actually the trade group for catalog companies. The folks that now have obviously catalogs and also websites that sell garden stuff directly to the public. Seeds, bulbs, plants, fertilizers, things that don't grow that you use for gardening.
Mm-hmm. So that really does keep you in touch with all parts of this. And, you know, mentioning catalogs, of course, my mailbox has just been full of them, and it gets us really kind of anxious about spring and getting out there and digging and et cetera, et cetera. But not quite time to do that, except it may be time to decide what it is we want to plant.
That's what the catalog companies kind of count on. They count on winter being a really good season for folks to actually sit down and flip through the catalogs and start putting their wish list together. Because it's a good time to, you know, you've got the time to think about stuff. In the middle of the gardening season, and certainly at the beginning of the garden season, you're busy with stuff. So now's a good planning time.
That's right. So, Randy, because you have contact with all of these groups, you kind of see what's happening in the United States and probably around the world, actually. So let's talk about some trends. What's a couple of the big trends that are happening right now?
Well, one of the big trends that the folks in the gardening business are delighted to see is that people have rediscovered vegetable gardening in a way that wasn't really predictable. Even a couple of years ago, nobody would have said, you know, we're going to see a big increase in interest in seed starting and putting starter plants in the ground, and people who have never had a vegetable garden saying, you know, I think I want to try this. And one of the things that's especially positive about that is that trend is being led by the new generation of gardeners, you know, the 20-somethings who have never done anything, and at most they were exposed to gardening through their parents or their grandparents. Mm-hmm. But now they're actually saying, you know, I want to take back control of at least part of my food supply. I want to be more connected to where my food comes. And those are the folks that are exploring vegetable gardening, which is fabulous for those of us who've, you know, been in the business for a while and have seen gardeners get older and older. Now we have a whole new generation that's becoming interested.
Mm-hmm. And they're really interested in the outcome, correct? I mean, that's really what they're looking at. It's not just because they might have fun digging in the dirt. They're really interested in what that veggie is going to be like and how it's going to taste.
Well, and they really are. And it's a combination of a couple of things in the younger population. They want to feel like their food is healthy, okay? So mm-hmm. organics are huge. That's a huge trend that includes this younger group, but across the board, we can talk about that in a minute. But so the organic part is important to them, and the local sourcing of food is important to the younger generation in a way that those of us who are baby boomers, myself included, have never really thought of. We kind of took for granted the fact that, you know, food can be trucked all over the country, and you can get fresh produce anywhere in America any month of the mm-hmm. year. Now the younger folks are saying, well, that's fine, but that may not be sustainable. We want to grow local food. We want our food to come from closer to home.
Okay. And Randy, can you tell in that trend, are they ready to dig up their backyards and do acres, or are they interested in the smaller plots, maybe the raised beds?
Well, they start with smaller plots, no question about it. There are a few folks that, you know, get crazy and buy a big tiller and try a one-acre garden. But that's not even a good way to start, because what we want to do is foster success. We want new gardeners to grow something and at the end of the season have something they can be proud of and a great, you know, basket of tomatoes that they say, you know, not only did I grow these, but these taste great and they're good for me. Mm-hmm. So I would personally rather see them start smaller anyway, and that's what they're tending to do.
Okay.
The raised beds are really popular. You know, a controlled, focused space. You know, have success there. And folks like the Earthbox people out of Pennsylvania, I don't know if you've heard of Earthbox.
Yes, I have.
But, they have actually sold more than 1 million of those planters now.
Wow.
And it's essentially two square feet of garden soil. Actually, not square feet, cubic feet. And it's enough to grow two tomato plants. So that's a real good place for somebody to start who's never even dug up any dirt in the ground.
And kind of related to that, I hear people here where we have lots of dirt, good dirt, we shouldn't have to buy something like that, are really interested in those hanging tomato plants. You know, you just hang it up and there it is.
Yeah, there's all kinds of crazy containers out there. I'm not a big fan of the hanging ones because I'm growing in the high desert, and hanging things up where they have more exposure to the dry air doesn't make any sense for me. But I've heard of some folks that have had success with that.
You bet. Okay, let's move on. You mentioned another trend was more interest toward organics.
Organics is the fastest growing part of the gardening marketplace and also the lawn control marketplace. Clearly, people are starting to make decisions based on not in my backyard, you know. Let's keep my backyard as clean and pristine as possible. And that's because of kids and pets and wildlife and any number of reasons. But even folks who may not go to the Whole Foods market and buy organics are choosing a less chemical intensive way to garden in their backyard. They may not go 100% organic, but they're leaning in that direction.
All right, because we can really pour the chemicals on to keep that nice green grass. So that's a very interesting aspect that I guess I hadn't really thought of. I just think of the buying organic or growing organic. So interesting that spread to more than the food we eat.
Well, it really, you know, it starts with the food, I think. But, you know, as families, young families have kids and pets playing on the yard, and they realize that wait a second, maybe the chemicals aren't good for our kids either. They're making those kind of choices, and there's whole programs now for organic lawn care that are becoming more popular.
Okay, do you have a third trend you want to talk about?
Well, I think in general people are being a little bit more conscious about whatever plants are native. Native and adapted plants are more and more popular because even in places like Iowa, if you have a dry summer, all of a sudden you realize, wait a second, we're using a lot of water on the landscape. Maybe that's not the smartest thing to do. Maybe we should pick plants that are more inclined to naturally do well in our growing conditions.
All right, and we're talking about, you're right on top of it. We are talking about a drought, so lots of plants that could withstand that kind of season. Well, there are lots of products out there, and I know that one of the things, and we're not going to have time to talk about them, but maybe we'll have later, is the association you talked about does give out some Green Thumb Awards, and many of those do relate, of course, to the trends.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I'd love to come back and talk to you for a whole segment on the Green Thumb Awards, because that's a case where we've got independent judges looking at the newest offerings from catalogs, both on the plant side and on the product side. And it's very interesting to see what the judges pick out of those products because it almost always dovetails with the trends.
Uh-huh. Well, they're smart. That's part of being on the edge there and making sure your product gets out there. Well, we want to thank you very much, Randy Schultz, for visiting with us and talking about the gardening trends. And until next time, here's the thought. Just because you've only got houseplants doesn't mean you don't have the gardening spirit. Right at the moment, you're an indoor gardener.
Yeah.